12 weeks after their now well-documented 10-game winless skid, the Flyers have gone from 28th in the NHL to now 1 point back in the Metropolitan Division. With our latest Flyers Roundtable with Steve Coates, Jim Jackson, Bill Meltzer, I'm Tim Saunders. Flyers extended their point streak the other night to 10 straight games. They beat Columbus 2-1, and as the Flyers hit the quarter pole, one quarter of the season left. This has been, guys, a great turnaround. A lot of reasons for it, but their last few wins, I think, have shown the confidence as far as this team maturing into a much more mature team, Coatsy.
I really like that word. The maturation has come at different levels, obviously, during a long 82-game schedule. But to see what's happened with the younger players, the Robert Hagues of this world and Nolan Patrick, that all of a sudden be not just members of a hockey club in the National Hockey League, but participating and being very involved and being a big part of the success. Konechny going up to the top line, all of a sudden he flourishes. All the different things that you wish that happens have happened. I think that when you take a look at the hockey club right now, it's a complete effort. Everybody's being involved. And when you see them congratulate each other now after every one, you can see after every game that they flat out are enjoying what they're doing and feel that they are winners. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you know, two things. We talked about during the well-documented, talked about as ad nauseum 10-game winless streak, that if it didn't break them, if it didn't kill them, it would make them stronger. And it did. This team, at no point during that whole thing, seemed like they were cracking. The locker room stayed strong. Although there were outside people calling for Dave Haxtell's head, there was no talk of that in the room. There was certainly no talk of that for management. So they did get stronger through that. And the other thing is that we talked about this the last time we got together. I thought important for the second half of the year was for the younger players to take a bigger bite of the team. And that has happened for sure, and you already talked about that. But I do want to point out two players who I think we need to start talking about in terms of NHL recognition postseason. And that would be Shane Gostisbehere and Claude Giroux. They have both had tremendous seasons. Giroux is now you got to start talking heart with Claude Giroux. I mean, he's near the top of the league in scoring. He unselfishly went to wing to start the season. Dave Haxtell said it was the single biggest thing that happened to the club. You talk to the players, they'll tell you he's a great leader. He doesn't lead through the media. He leads through talking to the players themselves. And he's gone no more than two games this year without a point. He's been very consistent, top in the league in faceoffs almost. I mean, he does so many things to help this club. And Gostisbehere, I know he's not the prototypical Norris Trophy guy, and I'm not saying he's going to win the Norris Trophy, but I think he has to be in the discussion when you look at his numbers and you look at his all-around play. I don't want to sugarcoat this, but he's actually saved Ivan Provorov a lot since they've been put together. Provorov's play, I think, has slipped some, and Gostisbehere has gone, in my mind, right to the top. So I think both of those two have gone above and beyond what I even expected they would here over the last 20 games.
Bill, you've been beating this drum about Giroux and the heart for a little while, and I think he's dead on.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's the intangibles, too. It was touched on. You know, there was no ego involved whatsoever in terms of the move to wing. You know, he'd been a center all this time. He'd been a Hart Trophy finalist once before as a center, you know, and there was never a question that if it was going to help the team, he was all for it. And he goes out every day and leads by example. And Jim touched on his faceoffs. I mean, you know, the most recent game against Columbus as we tape this being a great example. 13 for 13 to start the game. Won 16 of 19 overall. Just when a big play is needed or something that changes the game around, you know, just the small details. I remember a recent game where he was diving and he broke up a play defensively. Just all the little things you need, and it filters right on down the lineup. You know, the example he sets has been tremendous.
Isn't it funny how little things can kind of set you down a road? If Oscar Lindblom had actually made the team out of training camp, we might not have seen that change of Giroux over to the left wing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's, you know, I think everybody, you know, and it's just human nature. You want the results instantly. I think that, you know, with the And Oscar benefited also from that time
no
with
question.
The Phantoms. I mean, it helped him settle into the smaller rink. You know, he's really looked good in his two games so far. And I think one of the biggest changes from the early in the season to now is you can truthfully say this is a very deep lineup the Flyers have.
I have to say I totally agree with what your comments are as far as Drew is concerned. for both the Hart. I'd love to see him come and win the Art Ross out of nowhere. And I've talked about Gosses Bear. I mean, night after night, I mean, when you compare it to the other guys that are in that hunt right now for the Norris, I mean, he's right there.
Yeah, he and Klingberg are similar players.
Yeah, but sooner or later, just please everybody in the National Hockey League and wake up that nobody gives these guys any attention.
Yeah. And
if I could go a day without seeing a name Connor McDavid out there,
I was watching this that he and whoever he was playing last night are in the battle for the Hart, and I'm like, how can the captain of one of the most disappointing teams in the league be the most – I mean, he's had a great – again, he's piling up the points. He's always going to do that. But how valuable are you when you can't get your team from very near the bottom of the standings, a team that was expected to contend for the Stanley Cup? So, to me, I don't think he should be in the mix at all.
You know,
there are many other players who I think should be in the mix. And Giroux has to finish strong, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And Ghost, too. I mean, I'm just saying we're not hearing any talk along those lines outside of Bill Meltzer. And it would be nice, I think, if we start to hear some of
that. Well, here we're talking about individual awards, and obviously that's down the road, and they could care less, honestly, about that. It's more about the team. But as long as we're talking about awards, I heard a conversation about the Selke, and Couturier's name didn't even come up.
Really?
How is that possible?
That's just stupid.
Wow, what were the names? Bergeron, who
was? Bergeron is the automatic.
Well, Bergeron's the guy. I mean,
but look at it. Bill Kutz's numbers against Bergeron. I think he's got 9 more points, and he's a better plus-minus.
Absolutely. And I'm not the biggest puck possession number guy, but He's got him there too. You know, the way that Couturier has played game in and game out, he always had the defensive element there. And you know, of late, he's not scoring at the same pace. That's dropped off a little, but he's still racking up assists, and he's still contributing positive shift after positive shift. He's so much more of a confident hockey player. And where would the Flyers be, you know, without the big step he's taken forward this year?
I guess you have to crawl before you walk, because I've heard two opposing coaches now in their pregame discussion before a game with the Flyers mention Couturier's name with Bergeron. So he's getting there. But to get to that level and maybe actually get the Selke over him, it's going to be a challenge.
It's always hard to knock off the champ. And don't get me wrong, Boston Bruins are very sneakingly right now. They only got 13 losses all year.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, that's a pretty darn good hockey club. So Bergeron's part of that. But Couturier, the change and the transformation, I talked about the Canucks and all these different growth of this hockey club. He's been scary. As good as he's been, not to get the notoriety he deserves. And it goes back to what we talk about generally, that the Flyers guys, the great players on the Flyers, aren't getting any attention.
All right, let's put aside the awards and talk about where this team has gotten to and where it's going. Adversity comes oftentimes through injuries, and the Flyers, for the first time really now, are feeling that. Both goaltenders are out. Wayne Simmonds comes out. Travis Konechny right now is laboring. It doesn't look like that's going to be a long-term thing. But isn't it funny how, you know, the old adage is it's an opportunity for somebody else, and like Wayne Simmonds comes out of the lineup. Nolan Patrick gets put up on the second or in the first power play unit. He's already got power play goals in the two games he's played. So guys are further ahead because of the roles they're thrust into.
I was absolutely so impressed by Oscar Lindblom. He didn't look out of place at all. Actually, he played a pretty good role in the two games he played. If you can fill in, you have this kind of depth in this organization. And Ron Hextall says, okay, I'm not making any moves. This is the way we're going to do. We're going to build. And, oh, yeah, it takes time, but I've become a believer. And I was a believer before, but now I'm becoming a real believer that, you know what, just leave it alone. Let this group is very much together. And do you make a move at the deadline? I know you'll probably want to change that down by the road. But when you take a look at the guys that are coming in and filling the voids, this is how teams are successful. Very, very ironically, very much like the Philadelphia Eagles did, losing all those players this year, especially their best player, and still being successful.
It is, and we're seeing it. I do think, you know, they've had some fortunate wins. Let's be honest. They haven't had those 60-minute efforts necessarily in some of the recent games, and that will come back and eventually bite you some. I mean, they're getting some breaks during this whole streak, but there's no doubt that Lindblom especially excites me, because when he was put up, and again, Dave Hextall, who we haven't talked about, maybe he was on your list, has made so many great moves this year. In the middle of the game last night, or in the last game before this taping, he put him up with Voracek on that line with Patrick, and all of a sudden, he just looked even better. And he might be one of those guys who is, and this sounds stupid, it sounds very simple, but he's better with better players. But I do think the way he works along the wall, and he's so smart, that if you put him with two real talented players like Patrick and Voracek, that's got potential to be a very potent second line now.
Konechny, didn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think in Konechny's case, though, it was more they needed to get his confidence, and I think once he got his confidence, I think Lindblom, it's his style of play that I think really is complementary to very good players. And he's not the best skater in the world, perhaps, but you don't notice that because he's so smart and he seems to be in the right position. I don't want to put – we've only seen two games, but as you said, Coach, he's pretty exciting to know you can have a guy go down, call a guy up like that, and, wow, this guy's 21, and he might be a pretty good player.
Bill's probably seen more of Lindblom than the rest of us.
We know he has.
Lindblom does so many subtle things.
That's right.
Really, really well. If you watch him along the walls, he's really good with his feet. You know, he can almost soccer-style kick it to a teammate. He can – protect the puck, shield. I mean, there were several shifts last night where it was two guys on him on the walls, and he was winning the battles.
Yes.
You know,
he's not, like, super strong. You look at him, he's actually very lean, but it's kind of like Wayne Simmons.
Right.
He has a way of winning those battles.
And a couple times guys came in to deliver hits to him, and they were the ones
that went. He's got that Forsberg thing down, so, for sure.
You know, and he gets the scoring areas. And listen, he's also really good without the puck. The entire season with the Phantoms, he was only out for 16 even strength goals against the entire season. And considering how much time, you know, he spent out against other teams' best lines, I mean, that says a lot about his two-way play.
It's funny because Bill and I were talking about Oscar, and you're saying he just needs to score more to get a promotion. He actually did score in three straight games before his promotion. I don't think that's why he got promoted. Obviously, the injury had something to do with it. But I had talked to a couple coaches in Lehigh Valley, and they both said to me, he's just too good for the AHL. And I go, well, I look at his numbers, and that wouldn't – solid numbers, but wouldn't indicate to me he's too good for the league. And they said his IQ is way above the AHL. And you can see why they would say that now.
Well, everybody asks – I'm sure you guys get the same question from people – is what was the turning point of this club, because they've done such a drastic turning point. We mentioned it earlier. It was, to me, that 10-game skid where they didn't get into some – infighting and pointing fingers. I think Dave Hextall deserves a ton of credit for keeping the group together and the team leadership.
I think you hit it right on the head with Hack. It starts with Hack, and it goes to Giroux. Nobody panicked. And as much as they lost the 10 games, they got 5 points out of it, and the bottom line is that they weren't playing that badly. Our goaltending wasn't poor. They had some veterans that were making poor decisions, not the younger players, and that cost them a couple of games. And I think once that was over and the opportunity to go out west, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and have the success there, if there is a trigger point in my mind, it might have been that. Because to go from a 10-game losing streak and go out west and play in those towns and win, I think that had a lot to do with gaining some confidence back.
Okay, real quick before we go too long here, the trading deadline is coming up on Monday. So to me, Ron Hextall has already made the big move, and he kind of had to after Michael Neuvirth went out with
done,
the injury.
Though.
But absolutely. And a signal to the team from Ron Hextall that he recognizes the hard work Bull they've put in so far.
Absolutely. And this was – I love the way that this trade is structured with Detroit, that it's all dependent on the Flyers' team success and the level of impact that Peter Mrazek has on that team's success. Because really, at every step of the compensation level, you know, it's a fair price to pay. You know, a fourth round pick, considering you're down two goalies, you're getting a guy who, you know, talented goaltender, some experience in the league, you know, and a capable guy. You know, that's you can't argue with that. And when it goes up to third, well, if you're a playoff team and it helps you get to the playoffs, that's fair. If it goes up to a second, you're in the Eastern Conference Finals,
right. and you have two first round picks too.
Right.
So exactly. If you lose a second round pick, it's not. Yeah. I mean, he has done. I mean, we've talked about his patience, Ron Hextall, right? And sometimes we're impatient. We want to see the young guys. We want to make some trades to help this team. But he has now got the youngest team in the Eastern Conference by average age. They're younger than Columbus now. A team that's in the playoff hunt in the hunt for a division title, and he's got several, and Bill knows about them better than we do, prospects. We know about Carter Hart and Frost. And he's got some real top prospects coming and two first-round picks in the coming draft. I mean, it's pretty well set up right now.
That's kind of why I wanted to bring it up. As excited as we are about the fact that this team's suddenly a point out of first place in the division and potentially poised to make a playoff run here, with the deadline coming up, are there places that he could address? Yes. But it hasn't changed his approach. He is not going to mortgage the future for an immediate help. They're not at that point yet.
Yeah, let me ask you guys, here's an example. a guy I wanted, went in a trade, and it went within the division. Grabner went to the Devils.
First time ever those two teams have traded.
Yeah, and everyone was saying, oh, the Rangers wouldn't trade Grabner to the Flyers. I thought he was a guy that would help here. He's a good penalty killer. The Flyers, if there is a weakness on this team, although it's been better lately, but they need, I think, a little speed on the top of their penalty kill. He's a guy who could obviously chip in on the lower lines offensively, 25 goals this year. I thought he was a guy that could help. A rental, not the kind of trade that I think Hexie really likes because you're giving up youth and draft picks or whatever. But he ended up going for a prospect and a second pick. That, to me, might have been a little bit too steep for Ron's
liking. That second pick.
Yeah. I don't know how good the prospect is. Maybe you do, Bill. But a prospect and a second pick, to me, probably a little too steep. I think that's another example of Hexie being patient rather than
throw that out here. If you're going to talk about making a move, what is the number one need right now for this hockey club to be able to increase its ability to be successful as we head to the end of the season and into the playoffs?
In my mind, and this is not a knock on anybody, but I think we all have been around long enough to know you get to playoffs and you can't have enough defensemen. And if you could add to your bottom tier there, I think whether he's immediately in the lineup or not is the area I would address.
I think... while everybody knows their roles on defense, there's a drop off after the top pairing. The downside of putting Provorov with Gostisbehere is, you know, everybody else is kind of a role guy. They know their role and they go out and they do that role. But still, you know, in terms of the real impact guys, it's all on the top there. It would be nice if, you know, in an ideal world of the Flyers could get someone kind of in the middle there who also, you know, who helps out and you know, in that regard.
Just bring Erik Karlsson back from Ottawa.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no.
I think he might
so
cost
easily
a little
done.
Too
yeah,
much.
Yeah. Price might just be a tad steep on him.
I agree with you guys. I mean, you look, they've played with the same six defensemen now for how many games? If you get the amount, it's like 20 games almost. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
And if there is, you know, if there's an injury, look at the way that Travis Sanheim has played since he's gone back to the Phantoms.
He's probably the next option, but again, you'd be relying on a very inexperienced kid or Mark Ault. I mean, you're talking, they aren't very deep right there. That's one area where, yes, I think they need to add depth. Now, you can probably add depth without giving up too much, but I think you're talking more at three or four kind of guy.
I'm talking about three, four. Kind of
that's
going
to cost you, obviously.
And the price tag is very steep.
So it's not out of the question that Travis Sanheim may not be here before the ball is said and done. I think it's very possible.
It's an interesting situation for Hexie because, you know, when you send a young player down, I mean, you tell him, go down, do the right things, and we'll get you back up here. You know, Travis has gone down there, and it's not all just the points. It's really, you know, Scott Gordon was making a point that it's really playing the right way two ways is leading to points. But he has 15 points in 13 games and is plus 13 in that stretch. Really not much more Travis can be doing to, you know, to do the right things to get himself back up here. You know, I mean, he'll be on the roster for the playoffs, whether it'll be, you know, how much time he'll play. That may be down the line still a little bit, but it's, you know, he certainly is one of those promising guys who can step up at some point.
Back to your original question, though. Again, we're talking about defensemen. I still remember the year in the playoffs, Sammy Kapanen ends up going back and playing the blue line because they didn't have enough defensemen.
That was 2004, right? They just ran out of defensemen.
Ragnarsson broke his little finger. He could probably go the rest of his life not getting a broken finger from that. And then on top of that, Eric Desjardins broke his arm again because he was throwing a baseball.
Yep.
And that's when we had Sammy Kapanen back there in the blue line and did a heck of a job, by the way.
Finally, I'm sorry to cut you off.
That's all right.
The last guy, or the guy they did pick up, real quick because we're running out of time, Peter Mrazek, very small sample size. If he plays like he did in his first start for the Flyers, if he gives them that kind of goaltending, this is going to be an interesting spring.
He's a goalie who's shown he can get hot. He's a goalie who can steal a win or two. You know, 2 years ago, he looked like a real rising star in the league. He's capable, no question of that.
You know, there's questions about his makeup from last year when he didn't handle being the backup. He was expected to be the starter in Detroit and didn't play real well. He went back to Jimmy Howard. It's kind of been back and forth over the last 3 years, and he didn't necessarily respond very well last year. But everybody I talked to in Detroit said this year he came to camp in great shape and in a great frame of mind and was a very good soldier. The one thing I've been most impressed with him so far has been he's so fun to be around. He's got a great approach. Now, maybe you're coming to a new team, you're always like that, but I just think he's going to be a well-liked guy, and he doesn't have to worry about going back and forth right now because, You're looking. He's going to run with it, and I think that's when he's played some of his better hockey. So yeah, I was hitting the same thing as I was watching him in that first game. And only faced 20 shots, but those are the toughest games for goalies. He was facing quality opportunities, not a lot of quantity, and he was very good.
Well, 6 weeks left, lots of hockey to play, but this quarter, last quarter of the season with these guys and the way this team is headed promises to be pretty exciting. With our Flyers Roundtable, for Bill Meltzer, Jim Jackson, Steve Coates, I'm Tim Saunders.